Buckle up your pant legs, zip up your hats, and metaphor up your chessboards. It's time for Sounds About Light, a podcast about Kingdom Hearts 3. I'm Sam.
I'm Drew.
If my energy sounds weird today, it's because my mom is here, and I don't know what she's hearing. Maybe she's hearing me making my bed and respecting my siblings.
Your mom, like your master of masters, or like, what are you talking about here?
That's right.
Yeah.
Sorry, I need to minimize the wiki because I see Ham from Toy Story described as a member of the Detesters of Woody, so I'm gonna have to close that.
Spoilers.
Kingdom Hearts Detesters of Woody.
You know, he's fairly detestable in most of the first film.
I rewatched that movie not too long ago, and yeah, he's not a very good guy.
Yeah, he kind of gets there, but mostly by necessity, I would say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's great to be here. I was going to say it's great to be back. I mean, we took a week off, but that's not a break. It's great to be here.
Yeah.
In Kingdom Hearts 3. I'm so excited.
Yeah. This game seems fun. I've actually played, I think, this whole section, and then I stopped playing Kingdom Hearts 3 forever.
That's what I did, but then I eventually picked it back up like 2 years later.
Yeah. It was on Game Pass, and I'm sure I got distracted by something else.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, we start with... Ooh. We don't know this place yet, do we?
I don't know where this place is, no.
Okay. Sometimes I am about to say something, and then I realize we don't know it yet.
Because looking at it at first, I was like, oh, wow, this doesn't look like any place we've been. And I was like, is this like all the way back in Master of Master times or something? And I get my answer, no. But... At least I don't think so, considering who we see in the scene.
Yeah, we start in this, like, massive... It's like an endless ocean going as far as the eye can see, and there's, like... I mean, it's... How do you even describe it? It's like these... Like a cluster of mountains of buildings.
Yeah, they're really, really bizarre looking, but it's cool. It's definitely a unique design.
It's very Final Fantasy.
Yes. Yeah, I guess it does just look like a city in Final Fantasy. That's fair.
But yeah, they're like these like bright white buildings and windmills all over the place. They've got like cable cars. And I don't know if you caught it, but the camera briefly dips under the water and we see that underneath the city there is a blurry structure of some kind.
No, I missed that.
Well, we'll get to see that again later.
Oh,
not
man.
Anytime soon, but eventually.
Could this be like early times Radiant Garden Hollow Bastion?
Theory noted.
Yeah, because that place had all sorts of fucked up water pipes, so.
It sure did, and I'm still waiting to learn what was up with them.
Blitzball.
Oh, right, never mind, I'm not waiting. Mm-hmm. We go to what I'm assuming is the sort of central island of buildings. There's a huge tower with an important-looking symbol that is like... It's like seven arrows arranged in a circle pointing away from each other. That looks very important.
Yeah. Does it kind of look like... For a second, I was thinking it kind of looked like Castle Oblivion, but I guess not really.
No, not really. I see what you mean, but not really.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what that symbol is. We'll be on the lookout for that symbol if it shows up again, because I actually had not noticed it until I was taking notes.
Okay.
We then go inside to the big tower, and we see two important-looking teenage boys playing an important-looking chess-like game.
Yeah, I mean, one of them's clearly young Xehanort.
Uh-huh. I mean, oh, you think so?
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Of course.
Theory noted?
No,
we know this boy.
Yeah.
Who do you think the other boy is?
Well, I know. It's Ericus.
That's right. Yen Sid, what?
Yeah. No, it's Ericus, I'm pretty sure.
It's young Ericus.
Yeah.
And this is the infamous opening that ProZD made fun of. Have you heard of the ancient Keyblade War?
This their master's favorite story.
Yeah, the game that they're playing, we're going to be seeing it quite a bit from time to time. It's called Alba and Otter, which means black and white, or I guess that would be white and black, or maybe it wouldn't, I don't remember.
Mm-hmm.
But it's chess, but what if all of the pieces had a little symbol on top that correlated to a different Kingdom Hearts character?
Sounds like you could spend... hundreds of dollars on a collector's edition of that
at squareenix.com/store.
Yeah.
Yeah, we do get a few looks at some of these chess pieces, which have symbols of Xemnas's little laser daggers.
Mm-hmm.
I think we see Marluxia's scythe on one of them, maybe.
Right. Yeah.
Now that's a chess game I want to play.
Yeah.
One that Zigbar is in it.
Yeah, I want the Zigbar piece that I can shoot the other pieces with. That sounds pretty fun.
White free shooter to h4.
I win.
Yeah, so what happens here? So Xehanort is asking Ericus, I mean whoever these kids are.
Right.
Yeah, have you heard of the Ancient Keyblade War? What do you think they were gonna do when they summoned Kingdom Hearts? And Ericus is like, oh, I don't know. But then Xehanort says something that really throws Ericus off, which is, have you heard of the Lost Masters, the ones who started the war, or for whom the war started? And Ericus says that he hasn't, but it kind of seems like he might be lying, because he seems very suspicious of Xehanort knowing this.
Yeah. Yeah, either he thinks he's lying, or knows something, or... Yeah, I don't know. It's interesting.
But yeah, Xehanort is like, where did you hear about that? And, Ericus says that. And Xehanort is like, oh, drop the facade. And he brings up a prophecy. I can't remember if this was in back cover or not. On that land shall darkness prevail and light expire.
Yeah, I don't know. There's been so many things.
Kingdom Hearts. There's been so many things.
Yeah.
And they look up, and mounted on the wall is the old master's keyblade, the old no-name.
So Lushu's given it up, I guess, by this point.
It does seem that way. This is interesting, by the way, because Xehanort says, he looks at the Keyblade and says, the gazing eye shows that the future is already written. So they know about that, apparently.
Yeah, they know about the prophecy. The big one. Yeah.
Is interesting. Another thing we'll have to be keeping an eye on. But Ericus believes that he can change the prophecy. He thinks that there's more to light than meets the eye, and you might be surprised. And I love... when he says, you might be surprised, we cut to Xehanort, and he delivers the most evil and ominous, oh, I hope so.
Also, Ericus transformed when he said, there's more to light than meets the eye, and he turned into a big truck. and then Square Enix got sued, because Disney doesn't own that somehow.
Who owns Transformers?
I think Warner Brothers does.
Oh.
Yeah.
Bummer. Yeah, that's okay. We'll see Sora turn into a car in Kingdom Hearts 4 and Cars World.
It's fine. When David Zaslav sells Warner Brothers for parts, I'm sure Disney will pick up the scraps.
And we zoom in on the center of the chessboard, and there are two pieces there. A black piece with a goat symbol, and a white piece with a Sora's crown symbol.
Hmm.
That means anything.
I don't think I know what the goat is.
The goat is... The goat's head is on the no-name keyblade.
Oh, okay.
So, it is interesting because that kind of suggests that either that piece represents Master Xehanort himself, or it could be the Master of Masters.
Or Lushu, I guess.
Yeah, I guess anyone who's ever had that keyblade.
Or it could be Tom Brady.
Now, you'll have to explain that one.
Because he's the goat, you see. The greatest of all time.
Okay. I guess it... I hadn't considered that it could be Tom Brady. Does Disney own football?
I'm sure Disney could own Tom Brady if they wanted to. He got messed up in like the crypto scams and stuff. He probably could use a new owner. As a man.
Someone to teach him right from wrong.
As a man who's had an owner most of his adult life until recently, he definitely needs one. So.
Then we go into the opening. I have a lot of notes about it that I probably don't need to read. I love this opening so much.
Yeah. No, it's good.
It's my favorite of any of the games. And Skrillex is here, finally.
I think the song's pretty good. It does sound like Skrillex, but it's pretty good.
Yeah, I really like it. I'm gonna have to restrain myself from talking about literally every single shot in this opening.
Sure, yeah.
But what I will say is we start with Sora narrating. And these openings are always kind of... unmoored from time. We don't know when this is. We can make some guesses eventually, but he's in like a not in the same way as the city from earlier. He's just sort of standing on the water in an endless sea. I mean, maybe it's the same place. I don't actually know. But he narrates the following. They can take your world, they can take your heart, cut you loose from all you know, but if it's your fate, then every step forward will always be a step closer to home. I don't really know what that means.
No, me neither. I don't know.
I don't know who they is. Just the haters, I guess?
Yeah. Yes.
The organization.
The organization. The detesters.
Source detesters. We then cut to the chess game. And Xehanort looks up at the sky, and we see the stars reflected in his eyes. And I don't know if you noticed, his eyes are gray.
I didn't notice that.
He does not have yellow eyes here.
Oh.
Interesting. Xehanort got Norded at some point?
I mean, yeah, I assume he just ate up too much darkness fart gas and that happened to him eventually.
I have a theory about what the yellow eyes actually mean, but that's quite far away, unfortunately.
Okay.
But yeah, we see reflected in his eyes a cluster of purple sparks in the sky, and I actually have no idea what that means. A meteor shower? World falling to darkness? Don't know.
Yeah.
But basically what this opening is Xehanort and Ericus playing their chess game, and the pieces represent the events of the series. So, for example, he places a piece, and we then cut to the land of departure. Terra gets possessed. Aqua gets pulled into the realm of darkness. Ventus gets knocked into sleep. I want to call out a few of my favorite moments in here as sure. A means of not talking about literally everything that happens in it. I really, really like when we go to the Destiny Islands and we see little Sora, Riku, and Kairi playing on the beach, and Xehanort puts down a piece and it has the mark of Ansem, Seeker of Darkness, and then we cut back to the beach. Riku is possessed and Kairi and Sora get separated. They get like pulled into the sky, and Sora specifically gets dragged into the chessboard itself and becomes Ericus's piece with the crown on top. And I think that is such a cool visual metaphor for the way that Xehanort has been, you know, uprooting all these characters' lives with his evil schemes.
Yeah. And we've talked about how, like, Xehanort unwittingly created Sora, who will be his eventual downfall, most likely.
Yeah. So, which we get to see in a very literal way of Sora becoming Xehanort's, Ericus's chess piece, yep. Which I think is very cool.
Yeah. Although, I think, you know, for me, someone who doesn't know what happens in this game, it's really interesting to me to all of a sudden now have Ericus be placed on equal standing with Xehanort as a chess master. Because if you just watch Birth by Sleep, Ericus doesn't really seem all that informed or like he's doing very much.
And he does seem like he is dead.
He does seem dead, yes.
The ultimate tactic. They never see it coming.
But people die a lot and come back in this series, so...
That's true. Yeah. It definitely raises a question of, is Ericus actually still playing the game somehow? Or maybe we will find that he has already lost, well, but this is...
It honestly just raises the concept that he was playing the game at all. Because He didn't really seem like he just kind of seemed like a guy that was training people, you know, and that's it.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things where I look back on Birth by Sleep and I'm like, clearly when they made that game, they knew that the series was going places and that it was getting bigger and more complex.
Mm-hmm.
But it really is a game that doesn't meet the level that it's trying to rise to, you know?
No, yeah, it sort of seemed like the story of, like, the other three characters that got embroiled in this into this conflict, but Ericus just seemed like their old master that was kind of misguidedly holding them back in different ways.
And having them fight balls prove if they are masters.
Yeah, it's funny that Riku and Sora didn't just fight balls, they had to go on a weird dream adventure.
There is a deleted scene where they fight balls. That's what Balloonra is.
Oh, okay. Oh, once, okay.
Once you have proven your mastery over the balls will serve you and the light.
And that's how you awaken people. with the balls.
I think that was basically what was going on in that game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so.
I don't remember. It's been a minute.
Yeah.
Let's see. What else is good here? Roxas, Axel, and Shion are having ice cream on the clock tower, but then Xehanort puts down the Xemnas piece, and Axel and Shion disappear. He sees Shion, like, flying in the air, like, at the end of days, and he chases after her, and when he tries to, like, grab her by the wrist, she just turns into a seashell. That's pretty good.
Yeah, I like that.
Skip, skip, skip. I really like the shot. We're now in Kingdom Hearts 2 and onwards times, where we go into this, like, dark void with Roxas, Axel, Shion, Terra, Aqua, and Ventus, and also Riku, just sort of, like, standing there, like, waiting. I think a lot of them are asleep. Mm-hmm. And then Sora, like, opens the door for them, and Riku starts to walk out into the light. That's a cool shot.
That's very cool.
Good one. I think my favorite part in the whole thing is it's the end of Kingdom Hearts 2. Sora and Kairi are back on the beach, and they see each other, and they start to run to each other. But then Xehanort puts down another piece, and then, like, all the sky goes black, and it's, like, stormy and scary, and they, like, stop in their tracks, and they're surrounded. That's just such a... It's such an evocative way of showing how, like, they just can't catch a break, you know?
They really can't.
Every time they think that they get to finally just chill on the beach together.
Yeah. You know what's funny? Because, like, because we had spent so much time with not just the mainline games, which is a confusing conversation when it comes to Kingdom Hearts anyway. Yeah. Like, Kairi's not very important outside of Kingdom Hearts 1 and 2. Like, mm-hmm. You spend a lot of time thinking about her in Kingdom Hearts 1 and 2, and I was struck by like how I haven't really thought about Kairi very much in a minute. And I'll be
we're all hoping for the day when she gets to be a character again.
And I'll be interested. Yeah, I'm interested in thinking about Kairi again. Hopefully I get to.
Yeah, she's in this. She's in the game.
Okay.
Not enough, but she's in it.
Alrighty.
Yeah, so the ending of all of this is Sora and Kairi are surrounded by black cloak guys, but then they, like, start to attack, but then it's Donald and Goofy and Mickey and Riku, and then they all get stanced up.
Yeah.
Oh, and there's another shot in here that I really like, which is that Sora, when they're surrounded, he uses his Keyblade to shoot a beam of light into the sky, and the storm clouds start to clear, and this golden light starts shining down on them, presumably Kingdom Hearts. And Xehanort looks up at it, and we get just a little fraction of a second of this, like, satisfied smile forming on his face. Oh, it's good. It's like all of the heroes are here and they're here to fight Xehanort, and he wins.
Yeah.
Ugh. And then he looks down at the chessboard, young Xehanort does, and the whole board is empty except Sora's piece. And then we go to Sora standing on the water, like I mentioned before, and there is a very interesting little moment here. As Sora's standing there, Kingdom Hearts is shining down on him, and he looks down into his hand, and he opens it up, and he's holding Xehanort's chess piece.
Yeah.
What do you think that means?
Maybe that it's going to come down to Sora making some sort of big decision, you know, where he's going to mm-hmm. be holding Xehanort's life in his hands and gets to choose what to do with it.
Perhaps. I've kind of wondered if it's suggesting that, like, you know, Xehanort, right before this, we see him, like, maneuvering all his pieces into place and then looking up at the sky and going, like, haha, I did it. But then the twist of he is at the mercy of Sora's actions more than he knows, maybe?
Yeah, I think that's basically, that's...
And we know Sora loves to kill people.
He does love to kill, but maybe this time he'll choose to... That would be the most... I don't know, just like series like this thing is that at the end, Sora chooses mercy, you know?
Now, I do have to acknowledge, I don't like it, but I do have to acknowledge it. This shot is a big point in the Sora is the master of masters theory.
I had that thought and I didn't say it because I think it's stupid.
I also think it's stupid, but I can't deny that it could, that could be what it means, because the goat head isn't specifically Xehanort, it's specifically the Keyblade that Xehanort wields, which is the Master of Masters Keyblade, so Sorrel holding that Keyblade in his hand could mean that he's a Master of Masters. I don't like it.
No, I don't agree. But I just don't think, I think that's, well, I don't know. It seems like a stretch, and
I don't like it, but let nobody say that I'm not handling this fairly.
Yeah, true, yeah. I mean, to me, it's more like, I don't know where this series is going to go, but it has a lot of Star Wars parallels, and I wouldn't be shocked if at the end it's about, like, Sora not choosing to strike down the evil, you know, bad guy, basically. And that, mm-hmm.
And
somehow...
actually just handing him the keys to Kingdom Hearts.
Or something, I don't know. We'll see what happens, but...
We'll see.
Yeah.
We then get the ending of Fragmentary Passage, where Yen Sid says, "You have to get your strength back, etc. Olympus Coliseum, here we come." And then it says, "Kingdom Hearts 2.9. Ha ha.
God, that looks like shit, too, by the way.
The 2.9?
Yeah, Roman numeral 2 and then a .9. You shouldn't do that. It looks terrible.
Would that be better or worse than 2.ix or II.ix?
I would rather have II.ix, I think. But
I think I agree.
But... you just shouldn't do it. You should just do normal 2.9.
It is a pretty funny troll, though, to everyone who's been waiting like 20 years for this game.
Yeah, that is very, yeah, that is very funny.
We're in our first actual world. I mean, this is where the game actually starts.
Yeah.
And they really set the tone for how much Kingdom Hearts 3 is going to be like leaning into the cinematic, for better or worse, because we start Olympus with like the actual, like, Hercules movie-style narration.
Yeah.
Which I forgot existed.
Yes, we hear, "The planets were edging."
Well.
"Into perfect alignment."
Well, huh? That part's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, we see stone statues of Cloud and Orin and Hercules.
Oh, yeah.
Which is fun.
I like that, yeah.
And yeah, the narrator's like, "Hades was mad about it, and now he has decided to free the Titans and take over Olympus for once." We'll see.
Mm-hmm.
I really like this moment. You know, I think I've said this before on the podcast, that this is the point where the pacing of the cutscenes in Kingdom Hearts absolutely grinds to a halt, and there's just, like, so much... It has a lot more, like, naturalistic feel compared to the old cutscene style of, like, every line is moving the plot forward or making a joke, you know?
Yeah.
There's a lot of breathing room in here. I personally really like it. How did you feel?
About how the cutscenes work? I mean, yeah. I think it's fun to get, like, more characterization out of it because every cutscene isn't, yeah, plot critical. I think that's good. Mm-hmm. I think there's too many because I think it, like... I remember when I was playing it, I'm like, man, am I going to play this game or watch this game? You know, like, and I think that's, yeah. That's a tough balance. I think like a lot of, that is kind of like, I think where modern Square Enix has gotten to in a lot of, mm-hmm. in a lot of cases. So, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. I didn't like it at first, but I'm pretty happy with where it's at. Personally, but
and the beginning of games are often this way where they're front loaded with like a bunch of cutscenes and then you kind of get cut you get cut loose a little bit more later on. So
yeah, you know, you start playing a Yakuza game, you're 50 hours in on chapter 6 before you get to run around.
Yeah.
And we love it. Sora is confused though, because for once they are not in the Colosseum, they're just somewhere in Greece. And if we talk about every single line of dialogue, this episode's going to be 4 hours long, as right. They all will be for Kingdom Hearts 3. But yes. I love when they arrive and Sora is like, "No fanfare." And then he does like a little miming trumpet and goes,
yeah, that's good.
This is what I needed from Sora.
Yeah, he's a fun little guy.
So they set off up the mountain. And eventually they start to worry that they're lost. And Sora just completely gives up and starts screaming, "Hercules!"
Yeah, that's right.
And honestly, I believed that it was about to work.
Yeah, probably. I bet Hercules could hear them.
But instead, it's Hades. And this is so funny, the dynamic at this point between Hades and Sora. Because when they see each other, Sora's just like... "Oh god, this guy again?" And Hades is like, "Oh, it's you."
Yeah. I mean, they shouldn't like each other. It's good.
Not to mention, they've been dealing with each other for about 7 games now.
Yeah, I mean, they've dealt with each other more than most of the other, like, villains, so...
Yeah, it's... I think literally only Dream Drop Distance is free from Olympus.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Granted, Sora's not in all of those games, but...
Sure.
So, yeah, Hades is like, I'm gonna go win the thing, and Sora's like, no, you're not. But then Hades summons the Titans, who Sora has fought before, but not canonically, so this time they're scary, and... A big gust of tornado titan wind just sends them flying off of the mountain.
I forgot that was non-canonical.
Yeah, those are just arena fights.
Yeah, true. Okay.
And Hades has a little moment here where he's like, oh, I just sent them right where I left. Oh, well.
I feel like he should care about that more.
Is it? Are we thinking that it's Pandora's box?
Oh, I thought that... Maybe it was... Oh, yeah. It must be Pandora's box, I guess.
I wasn't really... But I think... Don't they later say that Zeus hid Pandora's box?
I thought maybe it was like I just knocked him where I left, like, Hercules. Fighting stuff. I think it's just that.
Right where I left all that fire.
Yeah, right.
Maybe. Or I don't remember exactly what he said. Maybe he didn't say that he, like, left something there. Maybe he was like, oh, right towards...
No, he says sailing right to where I left. No biggie.
Okay, Maybe he means Pandora's box. I don't know. Maybe. I don't want to get too hung up on this line.
Sure.
If it comes up in Kingdom Hearts 4, then we'll talk about it then.
Yeah.
Speaking of people who are sick of each other, Maleficent and Pete walk out of a corridor of darkness, and Hades is just like, oh, God.
That ain't no way to say hello, especially to your old friends.
Pete, you have never met this man.
Maybe.
Oh, no, wait, he has. They did meet in Kingdom Hearts 2.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Lucky Hades.
Yeah, Pete's the through line of the series.
Yeah, and he's the only one who never gets a costume change. That's not true. He has, like, 3 forms. Anyway. I'm tired of his zipper, folks. I've seen enough of this thing.
And I want to see it more and more.
And I want to see it unzipped.
That's right.
But yeah, Hades is just like, what have you done for me lately? Like, the Heartless never helped me with anything. Please leave. But Maleficent says, like, we don't care about, we're not here for you. I was just wondering if you've seen a distinctive black box. Now, we only saw a little bit of Maleficent in Unchained Key, I think. Did we see her? I think we also saw a little bit of her in Union Cross, but we did not see her learning about the black box, so we'll have to keep an eye out for that.
Did she not learn about the black box from Darkness? Capital D Darkness?
I don't believe that it mentioned it.
Oh, I thought it... Oh, okay. Yeah, it said something about... Oh, I think maybe it just talked about the Book of Prophecies, huh?
Yes. So yeah. That we'll have to be on black box lookout.
Okay.
We then cut to Hercules, who is in the middle of the on-fire city of Thebes, and he sees Sora, Donald, and Goofy falling out of the sky, so he jumps up heroically to rescue Sora and Goofy, and Donald splatters against a wall, and that's that.
Yep, game over.
Oh, well. Well, his game is over.
Right.
Now we need to find a new segment.
Yeah, I wish us Goofy doesn't have the same ring to it, so.
Wish us Geef.
Yeah, I don't know.
Geef's on Earth. I don't know.
Yeah.
Very dumb line here, not in a bad way necessarily, where Sora's like, why is everything on fire? And Hercules says, starts with an H. And Sora says, we ran into the H-ster on the way here.
The H-ster. Yeah, well, I wasn't ready for that, but it, you know, it's appropriate.
Yeah, the dialogue is it's got a very different tone to it, and I'm not against it.
It makes sense they're familiar. They spent so much time together, Sora and the H-ter.
That's true. You know, sometimes it's a data version of Sora, and sometimes it's Sora's nobody. But he's got a lot of H-ster memories in there.
Yeah, right. Those data memories are probably going to pop up someday.
Someday we can only hope. I like this line from Hercules when Sora says that Hades is planning to conquer the cosmos, and Hercules goes, all of it, huh? Nice of him to show some restraint for once.
Yeah, that's good.
And then we get an extremely Sora moment when Hercules says, so what are you guys doing here? And Sora says, oh, right.
It's okay, Sora. I'm having trouble keeping track, too.
legitimately forgot why they're here.
Yeah.
You know, he says, I'm weak. I need to get my powers back because we have started a new game and I need to be reset. How did you do it when you were weak? And he says, I don't know. I just knew that I wanted to save Meg with all my heart. This is, of course, calling back to Kingdom Hearts 2 when Hercules was depressed.
Yeah.
It could be calling back to the movie, but I'm very unclear on whether the movie has happened.
Yeah, me too. I'm not sure.
Really weird. But then they fight some Heartless. Meg and Phil fly in on Pegasus. I'm sure that you noticed Phil being absolutely silent.
I did notice that, which is funny that apparently they couldn't get even Danny DeVito's sound alike in this time.
So apparently what happened is that the Japanese voice actor passed away, so they didn't recast him out of respect.
Okay.
The English voice actor did not pass away, so he got laid off out of respect.
Huh. Well, I'm sure Disney appreciated that.
R.I.P. Anyway, there's a part here where Donald says that they're heroes, and Meg is like, well, break a leg then, heroes. Like, she was really, really thinking about whether to call them heroes.
Yeah.
You know, when you look at Donald Duck, it's kind of hard to square that.
Yeah, you don't expect that he's the most powerful mage in the universe.
And yet.
Yeah.
Nothing really happens here, to be honest, but it's nice to see them.
Yeah.
This part is really wild because Goofy with his, I'm pretty sure this is literally like because he has dog ears, he can hear a crying child from like miles away.
Oh, maybe. Yeah, I didn't consider that.
Because the others couldn't hear.
Oh, yeah.
And the kid is far enough away that Hercules throws them like on the back of his statue.
Yeah, I was confused by this because, like, when I first, the way it's cut together, at first it just seemed like she was, like, a block over. And then
it's very confusing.
And so I thought, like, I was like, why is he bothering to do this? They should just walk over there. And then, like, oh no, it's, like, miles away. Okay.
Yeah. Fortunately, he has very good aim, so he did not hurl the statue directly at the child's face. We really do just cut from him throwing the statue. And we probably get a goofy, we just cut to them being like, all right, get home safe, kid.
Yeah.
And then Maleficent and Pete show up for no real reason.
Oh, they gotta make fun of Sora or whatever, you know?
They are literally just here to antagonize Sora.
They've done that a lot, though. That's kind of their thing.
That's true.
You know?
That is actually very in character for both Pete and Maleficent, not only in Kingdom Hearts, but just in general.
Yeah, I mean, Maleficent's whole deal is just going around and making people have a bad time, and that's why she was just going to kill Santa for no reason, so.
That's true. I always forget about that.
Yeah, I never forget.
Yeah, Maleficent is here for Sora's christening, and she's very upset that she wasn't invited.
Yeah, that's right.
But yeah, Pete is like, do you think this kid looks even putier than usual? Why don't we kill him?
Let's kill this kid.
And Maleficent's just like, he is inconsequential.
Wild, though. He's not. You know that.
He's not. But I don't remember exactly what Pete said, but I'm pretty sure that he did actually say we should take this opportunity to kill him.
He says something like that, yeah.
Yeah. He lets slip that they're looking for a black box, and Maleficent says shut up. So they leave through a corridor of darkness. That's pretty much that.
Yeah. I got an important note that says, me likey Big Pete.
We do likey Big Pete. I like this part where Donald and Goofy, this is something I love about this game, is there's just so many of these little moments of the characters just, like, interacting with each other in stupid ways, where, like, Donald and Goofy are trying to reassure Sora that he's stronger than Pete says, and Sora's like, it's fine, I'm not upset. And the more they try to reassure him, the worse it makes him feel.
Yeah, we've all been there.
It's pretty good.
Yeah. You know, I do think it's funny. They're like, oh, Sora's lost all this strength. And you're like flying around and shooting magic and doing flips, you know? I mean, it's like
doing the Goofy tornado.
Because you're definitely stronger than you were in Kingdom Hearts 1. Yeah. Oh, I don't know. Sure. Maybe not like end of Kingdom Hearts 2 or something. But he still seems pretty darn strong.
Yeah.
I mean,
I don't know if we would have seen any of it in Gamer's Little Video, but Sora, he has retained the ability that he learned in the Dreamscape of flow motion. So he's like doing wall runs and spinning around on columns and stuff.
Yeah, And he has, like, Shotlock now, too, right? Like, he can do all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, he's got Shotlock.
Yeah.
He also learned water. I don't know when that happened. But he learned water when Unreal Engine learned how to render it.
He's so weak as shit, though. Happened. He's so weak.
Yeah. They should kill him.
Yeah.
A little while later, after some gameplay, they find that their path through the city is blocked by a huge fire, and Goofy says, "What if we do a sledding minigame?" And he's right.
Yeah, it looks bad.
It's not.
Okay.
It's actually, in my opinion, a lot of fun.
Okay. Well, good. I'm glad to hear it.
Yeah. As always, Goofy is a genius. He only has good ideas.
It's true. Yeah.
We then cut to one of the funniest characters in Kingdom Hearts, a woman who is in a, like, garden hiding or, like, taking cover on top of a column, and she's surrounded by Heartless. And she's like, "Hercules, help!" And then the three of them run in and say, "We'll save you, ma'am." And she's like, "No!"
Yeah, she wanted Hot Hercules to show up, not a child and
where
two animals.
Where is Hercules?
I wrote down that this lady and the other people kind of look like the background characters in Balan Wonderworld. That's what they look like to me. They've got the kind of just like generic 3D character look to me.
This is I think that this is such a huge step forward for Kingdom Hearts, though, because these are, like, populated areas. Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. No, it's like, yeah, you're not in an empty coliseum hearing cheers from nobody or whatever. So,
I mean, that moment, I don't know if you remember it, when Terra is at the coliseum and he's like, "I'm no hero." And Zack is like, "You don't get to decide that. They do." And it cuts to the cheering bleachers full of nobody.
Yeah, no, I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. Now we've got people. They're here.
Yeah.
Hooray. And yeah, they save her. And for no reason, this lady is like, "Thank you. Keep training and one day you'll be strong like Hercules."
I think that makes sense because no one's as strong as Hercules to these people. So
sure. It's a very backhanded compliment and thanks.
Oh, sure.
But there's a great Donald moment here when Sora's like, "Keep training. Is it that obvious?" And Donald just says, "For you."
"I'm the most powerful mage in the universe."
This is Donald's game. He has all the breathing room in the world in these cutscenes to be mean to Sora. They eventually catch up with Hercules. There's a collapsing building. He's trying to hold the roof up. And there's like a family of four trapped inside. They fight Heartless. This is where we get to first see the Kingdom Hearts 3 form changes. It's kind of like the Birth by Sleep command styles, if you remember those.
Yeah, yeah.
Where you like fill up a gauge by attacking and then you unlock a new set of attacks. We don't get to see it yet because Sora still just got the Kingdom Key here. But it comes with Keyblade Transformations.
Ooh, that's fun.
Do you remember, I think that we watched at the time the footage of the battle with Lingering Will, Terra's armor.
Yeah.
And the Keyblade is turning into a giant rocket launcher.
Yeah.
I do. And a whip and stuff.
Yeah.
You can do that in this game.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Anyway, they get everyone out safely. Hercules doesn't die, which is pretty cool.
That's good, yeah.
There's a moment here that I love so much because Hercules is like, "Ah, well, that's what these are for." And he flexes his muscles. And Donald and Goofy imitate him. And then what happens next is that Zigbar appears, sarcastically clapping for them. And we cut to Donald and Goofy, who are still flexing and are like, "Get out of here! You're ruining our moment!"
Yeah. But you know me, I'm excited to see Zigbar.
Always excited to see Zigbar. We did post our list of our top 10 characters who we're excited to see when they show up.
Yeah, he's very high on the list for both of us.
Yeah, as is Pete.
As is Pete.
Very, very rare and correct opinion on our part there.
Mm-hmm.
We
gotta talk about that eventually. I think that's so weird that people don't like Pete in these games.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what it is. I mean, I don't think that I liked Pete until we did this podcast.
But I don't understand that. I just don't get it. Like, I guess I'll just do it now. There's nothing better to me than a villain that is, like, having a great time being a villain. And that's what Pete's doing all the time, and it's awesome.
Yeah, I think the issue for a lot of people, my past self included, is that you're waiting for the organization to show up and for Xehanort to show up and all that. And whenever Pete and Maleficent are around, they're kind of doing nothing for the story.
Hmm. I guess so. I don't know. I mean, I feel like they're doing they're just slow about it, but everybody's slow about doing stuff in this series, so...
They are very slow about it. Here's the thing. I think that we will see some important plot stuff out of them, probably in Kingdom Hearts 4. Because, yeah, Maleficent is, like, looking for the Book of Prophecies and stuff. Like, there's no way that that's not going to amount to anything.
Well, in a lot of ways... Yeah. In a lot of ways, Maleficent was, like, the main villain of the first game, too, you know? I mean...
Yeah.
And, like... Yeah, I don't know. I guess I can kind of get it, but I also, you know, without Pete and Maleficent still here doing stuff, like, this might as well not be Kingdom Hearts anymore, because...
I agree. They're a really good presence, and they're really fun characters.
Yeah, I think that's it, and I get that, like, a lot of people eventually, by this point in the series, they're not there for the fun anymore, you know? They're here for the big, crazy story, but, like, again, I just think that just play Final Fantasy then, you know, like the special flavor of these games is like the weird Disney stuff. So I don't know.
Yeah. And I, for me, I'm happy to see them whenever they're on screen. And I think that what people should channel their energy into, instead of, oh God, not these two, I think that what they should be thinking is, I want to see more of these two. I want to see them getting into it.
Yeah, I agree they should be doing more stuff. Like, they should have maybe found the Book of Prophecies by now, or the Black Box by now, and that would be better.
Yeah, there's been a lot of games in a row where it's kind of like, what's Maleficent up to? And I think we will be getting a payoff in Kingdom Hearts 4, personally.
You'd have to, I think.
Yeah, I mean, the unfortunate thing is, that does mean, and I am saying this up top, we will not get that payoff in this game.
Oh, I'm aware of that, yeah.
But anyway, Zigbar is here. He says a classic Zigbar-type line where he says, "Does having a heart of light come with an extremely good insurance policy?" And Sora says, "Just say what you mean." And Zigbar goes, "Oh, but I did."
Yeah!
No, you didn't!
Yeah, speaking of people that love how evil they are, Zigbar. Zigbar's the best.
He says that no good will ever come of putting other people before yourself. And Hercules says, "That's not true. I saved Meg by putting my life on the line." And Zigbar's like, "Yeah, but you're a demigod."
Which is a great point.
It's a pretty fair point.
Yeah.
He says that he has no respect for someone who, quote-unquote, bravely jumps into danger when it might put other people at risk when they need to be bailed out. And then he just says, "You can spare me the usual party line. Yes, of course hearts are powerful when they're connected. Don't bother telling me that."
Yeah, yeah.
He says something odd, though, which is, "If you put too much of that power in one place, some of those hearts might end up breaking." And after he leaves, Sora is very, very worried about what he meant by that.
Yeah, is that about all the people that are in Sora's heart that he doesn't really know about?
I don't really know what he meant by that.
Hmm. Well, I guess we'll see. It was funny, Zigbar also showed up. He's on the tour of people showing up just to dunk on Sora and leave.
That's true. I mean, that's incredibly typical for Zigbar as well.
Yeah, totally. That's mostly what he does.
Nothing any old about me. But yeah, he just tells Sora, like, keep doing what you're doing. It'll work out great for us. And Sora's like, I won't listen to you. And Zigbar's like, yes, you will. You have no choice. He says something very ominous, which is like, you'll see what destiny has in store for you once this is all over. In fact, your reward might be right around the corner. You're so close. And then he leaves.
He's so good.
Love this guy.
Love this guy. Goofy hates him, though.
Yeah.
Because Goofy yells, "No organization!
No organization! Get out of here!"
Which makes sense, because he's a Disney character, and they do hate when people organize.
Well,
yeah.
More stuff happens. Meg, Phil, and Pegasus return to say that everyone's safe.
Phil says his iconic line.
Oh, I love that one.
Yeah, it's a good one.
One word. And then they're like,
uh-huh. Oh.
Zero. Anyway, they look up at Mount Olympus and their scary black clouds. So Hercules and the others all set off to fight Hades. But Hercules starts to get really worried. So he flies off on Pegasus and he says, I got to go check on my family. And they're like, what? Family? And he says, yeah, my dad's king of the gods. And I swear they already went over
this. I thought they knew that too, but I guess maybe they don't. Because they only ever see him in the Colosseum, and I guess maybe they just think he's a guy who's really good at fighting in a Colosseum.
I was so sure that there was a line in Kingdom Hearts 2 where Sora said, Herc, you're a god?
Was that like Terra or maybe like Ventus or something?
I think it was Hercules, Sora in Kingdom Hearts 2 when he said that he was like, I can get the Olympus Stone. My family use it when they visit Hades in the underworld or something.
Oh, Sora forgot.
I swear this already happened. Maybe Sora got hit on the head.
He has been hit on the head multiple times since then.
when Xehanort sapped away his strength in the abyss of darkness, he also sapped away just a little bit of his memories.
I mean, Sora's constantly hit with like lasers and magic and stuff. It can't be good. It's got to be giving you concussions.
He's getting digitized, de-digitized, re-digitized, re-de-digitized.
Yeah, he should really talk to Tom Brady about how to deal with that. I'm going to keep on talking about Tom Brady because I know our audience loves football.
Yeah, this is the world's foremost, but not only football and then also Kingdom Hearts podcast.
Yeah.
I don't want to be a sports ball type guy, but I really don't know shit about football, so I can't really contribute anything to this other than Tom Brady is a crypto weirdo.
He is.
It's the only thing that I really know about
him. And a weirdo.
That's good. Yeah. That's what you want.
That's right.
So Sora and the others, minus Hercules, continue up the mountain. They fight the Rock Titan. Now, what did you think of the way that they fight the Rock Titan?
You mean with the train?
Yeah,
I played this, so I think it's, I don't know how I feel about it, honestly, because it my memory of playing it is like, it's kind of fun to do, but it's just so entirely weird.
For anyone who doesn't know, this is the first time that we are going to talk about, and maybe the last, because they are incredibly plot irrelevant, attractions, they are called, and they are... basically what happened, we can assume, is that Square Enix received a memo from Disney that said, hey, advertise Disney parks. So they had to put rides in these games.
Yeah, and so this is like the train ride that's at Disneyland.
It's a Big Thunder Mountain Railroad, basically.
Yeah, and I know that this is going to continue throughout the game. You get like Pirates of the Caribbean, I assume, at some point. Stuff like that.
There's a let me see if I can remember all of them, because I think you unlock them all pretty much at the start. You don't like get new ones as you go. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're so weird because they're like, they are free to use. You just have to, I think the way that it works is that sometimes an enemy will have like a little green icon around them and you hit them and then you unlock the attraction and you can use. No MP cost, nothing like that. You're invulnerable while using, I'm pretty sure, almost all of them. It's just a free bunch of damage with a little mini game attached that is a Disney Parks ride composed of little glittery lights that absolutely destroys the bitrate on any stream or YouTube video you're watching.
Yeah, true.
It looks really horrible in recorded footage. It looks cool in the game, but yeah, so it's like, this is Thunder Mountain Railroad, so you're just like riding a train around in the sky and shooting sparklers at the Rock Titan. There's the pirate ship, the like swinging back and forth, and it's like shooting like water bubbles. There's a carousel that's like a rhythm game that's like shooting a ring out. There's the mad teacups where Sora, Donald, and the Goofy are all flying around on teacups and hitting people. I think the other two are the, there's like a Splash Mountain one where you're like bouncing around and leaving a trail of water that does damage. And the other one is the Buzz Lightyear like blaster shooting game ride.
Right, yeah.
Where you go into first person shooter mode and you shoot lasers at the Heartless.
Yeah, I think ultimately like I'm mostly neutral on it. I think the only thing that's kind of a bummer about it is that like normally, like, Sora gets powers by, like, forging connections with people or, like, worlds or something. And it's weird because these don't... A couple of them represent people he knows, and those would make sense for him to have, but the ones that don't are, I don't know. You know, because, like, I'm assuming this kind of replaces, like, summons, right? This is, like, replacing, like...
There are summons in this.
Okay, so if you still have summons...
These are just a bonus thing.
Yeah.
I think part of what I don't like about it is that they're like, too good, and there's no reason not to use them, but I just hate using them. Because I'm like, I didn't earn this damage that I'm doing. I didn't earn this invulnerability. You just gave it to me. So I never use them.
Yeah, like, I feel like you should just have to, like, fill up a bar and, like, buy, like...
Yeah,
buy,
like, at least if you were, like, gathering orbs or something, and then it's, like, attraction ready or something like that.
Yeah, or, like, you have to, like, damage the boss in a specific way to put him, like, in a weakened state, and then you get to, like, use the attraction as a finisher or something. I don't know.
Yeah, there's even abilities you can unlock that makes the attractions last longer. Wahoo! Yeah, and on top of that, I just don't like stuff in these games that is pure gameplay mechanics and has no, like, grounding in the world.
Yeah.
Like, there will be cutscenes where Sora and friends will acknowledge the characters that they've used as summons. You know, like, they meet Mushu, and they're like, oh, it's Mushu, who we had as a summon. But I don't think there will ever be a time where Goofy's like, remember when you summoned that train?
Right. Yeah, because I think that's totally it. Because, like, it's fine. I understand sometimes some of the stuff we're doing in this is basically just Disney, you know, action figures and advertisements, and that's part of the game. But they've done a lot of work to make the other ones, like, part of the lore, and the fact that they didn't for this is weird.
Yeah, not a fan. I mean, at least they're kind of fun, and I think I said this is the only time, but I think there's one other moment where there is a, like, story moment where you do the train one. And it's like a cool action set piece.
Well, yeah, that was my memory of playing this part, is it looked cool and felt, it was, like, new and interesting at this point.
Yeah, and you're, like, riding the train in the sky around the edge of the mountain, and, like, you're kind of looping around the Rock Titan and stuff. It looks cool, it's exciting, but it's also kind of stupid.
Yeah.
The other good thing about this, though, when you fight the Rock Titan, is that a lot of what you're doing is literally running up a vertical wall on the side of the mountain, which is just a thing that Sora can do now.
Right, yeah. So that's he's lost good. All of his strength, though. Weak as a baby.
He's stronger than ever, and he's weaker than ever.
Yeah.
I love this moment, and maybe you will remember it from playing. It's after you beat the Rock Titan, you're at the top of this mountain, it's, like, raining really hard, like, thunder and lightning, and you go into this cave, and you're going through this dark tunnel, and you see a bunch of rocks, like, clustered together in a wall, and you smash them with your Keyblade, and light pours through the tunnel, and you're just in the realm of the gods.
Yeah.
It's a really, really cool little visual moment.
Yeah, it looks good.
And this is a rare actual fourth wall break. As the Colosseum music from Kingdom Hearts 1 starts playing, and Donald is like, oh, is that the fanfare you meant?
Yeah, maybe there's actual music playing. Who knows?
Crackpot Corner incoming. Sora gets a new ability. I can't remember if we saw this in Gamer's little video. It's called air stepping. You, like, target something in shot lock mode, and Sora can just, like, go flying at it.
Oh, fun.
So that's how they get up to the peak, and the lava and ice titan are trapping Zeus in rocks when Hercules arrives, and they let the rest of the gods go. The tornado titan is also here contributing nothing, and everyone is here and they fight the titans, and that's that.
Yeah, I think this is all a good example of a good Kingdom Hearts world where Sora's actions have an impact on what's happening.
Yes, I think that Kingdom Hearts 3 achieves a miracle at the very beginning of the game by making me enjoy Olympus.
Well, you're not.
I love this world. I think it's great.
You're not stuck in the Colosseum. You're, like, running around doing stuff. Like you said, you see, yeah, like, people, and yeah, you get a sense for the world. Maybe, yeah, it's cool.
There's a variety of environments. You're in the city. You're in the mountains with, like, the the green grass and the rocky hills, and then you're in that like thunderstormy area, and you're going through the tunnels, and then you're in Olympus. There's a lot of stuff going on here. It's really cool.
Yeah.
And something that I think is really well done about Kingdom Hearts 3 is if you go back to worlds later, sometimes they will actually change in response to the story. Like, oh. You can go back to Thebes later in the game, and they're, like, fixing it, and it's not on fire anymore. That's great.
Yeah.
It's like even the Elder Scrolls IV didn't do that in Kvatch.
I mean, that game's, like, what, 15 years older than Kingdom Hearts 3? But yeah, I hear what
you're
saying.
Yeah, but I'm still mad that they didn't do that.
Fair enough.
It's just on fire forever. It's stupid. Anyway.
Hey, no,
that's the least of Bethesda's crimes in the past couple decades.
Yeah, that game was kind of good, actually, unlike
I know
other stuff.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
I think they announced that Elder Scrolls 6 is in a playable state, and I'm just like, man, Starfield was so bad.
I kind of can't believe that they would make it like Starfield, though.
I can't believe that any game would be like Starfield, and yet there's one, and it's Starfield.
Yeah, I love those games, and I know they're not like, you know, I don't know, if you think about them too much, they're not like the best games in the world, but whatever, but Starfield was so, man, there's nothing there.
Yeah, I mean, I was prepared, because, yeah, I'm the same way, like, I put so many hours into Fallout 4 and Skyrim, and mm-hmm. those games are not, like, good, but they're, you can have so much fun in those games,
yeah.
And I tried to have fun in Starfield, and I failed.
Yeah.
I couldn't do it.
Yeah, you know, I mean, more is not always more. That's the main thing I would say about Starfield.
Anyway, that's not what we're here to talk about.
No.
If I think about Starfield for too long, I'll talk about it for 3 hours.
Yeah.
Which is more than I played it.
That's probably exactly how much I played Starfield, yeah.
No, I can't do it. Okay.
Yeah.
Hercules frees Zeus, and he starts throwing lightning bolts every which way. The Titans start retreating with their tail between their legs, and then Hercules is like, "This." I feel like this is probably from the movie, but I don't remember because I haven't seen it in so long, but Hercules just grabs the Tornado Titan and uses it like a lasso to suck the other Titans up and then throws them into space and they all explode.
Yeah, that's in the movie.
Okay. It's great to see it here.
Mm-hmm.
But the best fate here is Hades, because he starts raging in the classic Hades way, and he's like, I'm going to kill you. That's it. I'm done. I'm going to kill you for real. And Hercules is like, no, you're not, and he sucker punches him.
Yeah. This game was a reminder that it's like, man, I know James Woods, the man, is terrible, but he's really good at doing this voice.
He is. Unfortunately, he's really good as this character.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this is okay. This is the moment where I was like, did the movie not happen? Because they are on their way out and they ask Hercules like, oh, are you sure about leaving Olympus? And he's like, yeah, because staying here would mean saying goodbye to the person who's most important to me. And Meg is standing there at the bottom of the stairs, like looking anxious, like, is he gonna stay in Olympus? Is he gonna come back to Thebes with me or whatever? And then he starts to go down the stairs and he says, I finally know where I belong, which is like, that's the thing that he says at the end of his character arc in the film.
Well, this is the end of his character. This is the end of the character arc in the film. We just watched the end of the movie.
It is. But I guess I just assumed all this time that the movie had already transpired, you know?
Oh, no, I always assumed you were midstream because you wouldn't be screwing around in the Coliseum if it was after the movie had happened.
Oh, I guess maybe if I had seen the movie in the past 500 years, maybe I would have remembered.
Yeah, because like when he jumped into like the Well of Souls and stuff too, that's toward the end part of the movie. So yeah.
See, yeah, that's the main thing that I remember. I guess because in Birth by Sleep we see skinny young Hercules.
Yeah,
and then in Kingdom Hearts 1 and 2, he's at the Colosseum, and then 2 at the end, yeah, he jumps into the Styx or whatever and saves Meg. And
well,
I guess I always just assumed that those were like callbacks to stuff that he had already done at this point.
No, I think like we've just been kind of catching up. Like, you know, we had some weird Kingdom Hearts time fuckery where time slowed down, I guess, for a bit, and now we just checked in with Hercules at the end of the movie.
Yeah, that's so weird. They took three games to, I mean, I guess four if you include Birth by Sleep, to actually, like, tell the story of Hercules. Huh.
Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah.
Fair enough. All right. But yeah, Hercules finishes his character arc and goes and hugs Meg. And then he just remembers why Sora is here, and he's like, oh, can I help you? And Sora's like, you already have. I have to find my strength on my own. I'll get so buff that next time you see me, I'll beat you up. And that's the end of Olympus. Well, there's one last bit.
Yeah.
As Pete digs around in the garden from earlier looking for what Maleficent thinks is a box containing the Book of Prophecies. Now, this is interesting, mm-hmm. because we don't know what's in the black box, and we don't know where Maleficent has heard of the black box, but we know that she has heard of the Book of Prophecies, and she seems to be very certain that the Book of Prophecies is in the box.
Maybe. It would make sense.
I don't know.
Well, I don't know if she's right, but it would be a good assumption.
Oh, yeah. For her, sure. From what we know, you know, if I'm thinking back to the scene with the Master talking to Lushu, you know, and he's like, you can never open it. And Lushu's like, oh, what's in there? And he whispers, and Lushu's like, why? He's like shocked to hear what's in there. So I would be surprised if it was a copy of the Book of Prophecies. But I don't know.
Maybe it's
we have no idea.
It's the Book of Prophecies, part two.
Whoa. The sequel of prophecies. The Book of More Prophecies.
Yeah.
Pete says something odd. Which is, he says, do you think that dingbat in black was lying about it being here? Does he... I don't think that he means Hades.
No, I think he means, like, somebody in a dark coat, like a Lushu or a Xehanort or something.
Yeah, but whoever he's talking about, they do dig up Pandora's box, and I love this moment when he pulls it out and he's like, all right. And Maleficent just takes one look at it and says, leave it. Pete's been, like, digging through the ground with his bare hands, and he's like, oh,
my back.
And yeah, he just chucks Pandora's box aside.
Feels like,
and
she
then
could,
what happens?
Feels like she could have used it. Wait, what? Then maybe. What happens? This is after, I watched this last week, and I don't have notes anymore because I was watching it at my lunch break at work.
Okay. We cut to Zigbar watching them from above as they leave.
That's right. Okay. He might have
been... Do you remember what he says?
No.
He says, may your heart...
Oh, yeah, that's right. And it cuts off.
And then it just smash cuts to black.
That's right.
Huh.
Huh.
Weird.
It's weird.
Zigbar always used to say that when we went on our missions.
Zigbar said it first.
His classic catchphrase.
Well, he might have said, may your heart pee pee poo poo for all we know after that, so.
Your heart not being your guiding key? As if.
Yeah, that's it. That's better than what I said.
We then go to the scene that made me stop playing this game originally because I was so confused.
Right.
Riku and Mickey are searching for Aqua in the Realm of Darkness wearing cool new plaid outfits, and Mickey has a hoodie with Mickey Mouse ears.
It's a look, for sure. I think they could have taken a second shot at these vestments, but they're working, I guess.
I like it.
I don't think I like the plaid fringe that's going on.
Yeah, it's, there's no zippers, I don't think. Maybe there are. There's probably five.
There's probably a couple.
I need to change the intro. Buckle up your pant legs, zip up your hats, and plaid up your everything.
Your vestments.
Plaid up your vestments. So Riku, stops and reflects on how different it feels to be here now compared to the end of Kingdom Hearts 1 after Ansem kicked him out of his body. And he's like, you know, last time I was so scared and alone, but now I feel exhilarated, I feel in control, and maybe it's because you're here, King Mickey. And Mickey says,
oh, it's your own strength that you found to protect what matters.
That's nice. I like this. They're a fun pairing.
They really are. Who would have thought? Just thinking back to Kingdom Hearts 1 and Sora's friend/rival/kind of bully.
the big time edgelord and Mickey Mouse.
Someday he will be best friends with Mickey Mouse, the king.
The king.
And yeah, when Mickey mentions protecting what matters, Riku remembers his promise to Terra when Terra bequeathed the Keyblade to him. He kind of mentions that it reminds him of something he promised someone once. And Mickey's mm-hmm. like, oh, what's that? And he's like, can't tell you.
I don't know why.
You know what it was? It was that Riku, when he met Terra as a kid, he was like, you're from another world, aren't you? And Terra was like, I am, but you can't tell anyone. You have to promise never to tell anyone that you met me.
I think you could tell Mickey now.
Yeah, I mean, it is funny that they're like trying to find Terra, and I don't think that Riku knows that he met Terra once.
I guess that's a good point. Yeah, he just met a guy that gave him a blade, so.
Yeah. And said, promise me that you'll never tell anyone about this.
So, yeah, I guess, okay, never mind. Yeah.
If we didn't know that Terra was the most earnest boy to a fault, I think that moment would be very concerning.
Yeah, yeah.
I met this guy. He gave me a sword and told me never to tell anyone about it.
I'm sorry.
I was seven.
Yeah. Do you need to talk to someone? You know, like, no. Are you okay? No? Okay.
Nope. Mickey says that the Realm of Darkness feels different, which I'm pretty sure is just him saying that the layout has changed since Birth by Sleep.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought maybe, I don't know, I thought maybe it was also, like, because those worlds that fell to darkness aren't there anymore. I don't know.
Oh, maybe.
Maybe, yeah.
He says he's trying to follow his connection to Aqua like last time, but it feels hazy now. He's worried that she might be even deeper in the darkness this time, but he's not giving up. They eventually find the Dark Margin, the beach that we've seen so many times from Death Stranding. And Riku recognizes it as where he and Sora exited the Realm of Darkness. And he wonders, is it possible that Aqua did the same? And Mickey says no.
Thanks, Mickey.
Not only is it not possible that she will have found her way out, I'm pretty sure that she fell even deeper than before. And Riku says, well, that sucks.
Yeah, it seems bad.
Mickey says, we're not equipped to try to follow her, and I would love to see what that looks like.
Yeah, I didn't like this because it felt very arbitrary. Well, it felt arbitrary. I guess they do it. Well, you know what? I say that, but they're about to justify it, so.
They really are, because they are surrounded by Shadow Heartless, and Mickey warns Riku that they might be weak little Heartless, but they're strong in the Realm of Darkness, and they form a demon tower, like in Fragmentary Passage.
Mm-hmm.
And we get to play as Riku, which is fun. He's very strong, but not strong enough.
Nope.
Here's a fun fact. There is a bug, I don't know if it still is in the game, but when you first arrive in the Realm of Darkness with Riku, he has the same long hair that he had at the end of Kingdom Hearts 2.
Okay.
That was supposed to change at the beginning of this when you see him in the Realm of Darkness in his new clothes, but he has his old haircut for some reason.
Hmm.
Until here when he gets hit by the Heartless. So it does kind of make it seem like the Heartless gave him a haircut.
Well, they clearly made a change in him, so maybe that changed his hair.
They gave Mickey a shirt cut, so.
Yeah, they have this power.
Careful, Riku! The Heartless can take your hair off.
They really like to mess around with fashion.
But in this case, it works out because his hair looks better now.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, he gets trapped inside the demon tower. It kind of looks like he's floating underwater. Once again, they love to represent deep darkness with underwaterness. And we hear a distant voice, a very faint, echoey voice, say, I didn't expect to see you again. Do you need some help? And Riku asks who the voice is, and we just hear, me? I'm... And then Riku passes out. Any guesses?
He says something in a little bit about his other self or something.
Mm-hmm.
So my best guess is, like, Repliku's been in his heart this whole time. And so maybe there's, like, or maybe his demode self is his other self. I don't know. That's all I can think of.
You are on the right track.
Okay.
But you're not exactly right. But
I hope it's not Ansem in his heart, because that seems like it would be bad.
Ansem is... I think that he might have finally dealt with him for good in Dream Drop Distance. I think there was a thing about that.
Unless...
Oh, boy. So Mickey wakes up, or Mickey wakes Riku up and says, I kept fighting them. Eventually they spit you out and disappeared. And he points out that Riku's Keyblade is snapped in half. And Mickey says, we should have powered up our Keyblades first, which is the first we've ever heard of that.
Yeah, we should have gotten some bangles and done some powering up.
No! This is a game mechanic that you can go to the Moogle shops and power up your Keyblades, so I think that that's what Mickey is referring to.
I'm shocked to find out Keyblades can break.
Yeah, I know. I don't really know what it means.
Yeah, I thought they were, like, an immutable part of the universe, and my assumption was if they broke, they would kind of just repair themselves.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I have no idea.
Yeah.
I mean, we never really found out where he got this Keyblade.
Right.
Because in Kingdom Hearts 2, he has Soul Eater at the beginning, and then it's near the end in the world that never was that he shows up for the first time with a Keyblade.
Yeah. I mean, there's the bequeathing thing, right? And then
yeah,
it seems like maybe that assigns you a Keyblade, but because do we know how Kairi got her Keyblade?
Riku literally just gave it to her.
Right. Yeah. So
he just handed her a Keyblade. We have no idea where it came from.
Okay. Well.
Yeah. That's one of those things that is still very unclear, and I don't know if it's supposed to be, and I don't know if they know that it's unclear, but it is.
Hmm.
But yeah. So Mickey says we need to get back to the tower. And regroup and tell Yen Sid what happened. Riku doesn't want to leave until they get Aqua out, but I like that he's like, you know, I've been alone in the realm of darkness. I know how scary it was. And Mickey's like, well, don't, you know, she's a Keyblade master. She's strong. And then there's a really weird moment here where he says,
what did Riku think he meant by that?
So this is a line that has confused many, many people over the years. I think the general consensus is that it's a kind of wonky translation.
That makes sense.
That in the Japanese, I think that it's like an ambiguous phrasing where Mickey is saying she is similar to Sora, but the wording could also mean she looks like Sora.
Oh.
That's what I've heard. I haven't looked into that myself, but...
Okay. All right.
But, yeah. I think the best we can make sense of it as we see it is that Riku is thinking, oh, God, she's an idiot.
Yeah, that was what I thought.
Yeah, it's an odd moment, but it's kind of funny. And Riku decides that he will believe in Aqua, and he plants his Keyblade into the sand and says, I'm going to leave it here for the other me. And that's where we're stopping for this week.
The other me. Replica.
Perhaps. Oh, man. I love this game.
Yeah, this has been cool. I wanted to go back. I don't think I said it at the beginning, but when Xehanort talks about the Lost Masters, I realize I'm not exactly sure who he means. I feel like he could mean the Dandelions, or it could be even, I guess, like Master of Masters or like Apprentice. It's hard to say. I guess I'll probably find out. Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know if it's ever been specifically said who the Lost Masters refers to. In my mind, it's the Foretellers.
Yeah.
Foretellers and maybe also Lushu and the Master. I don't know.
Yeah, because I mean, like, I don't know what has I don't know what's going to happen with the Dandelions yet.
Uh-huh.
And my only thought was like, well, I know they got like transported to another world, kind of.
Uh-huh.
And but then there was also some sabotage. I'm like, do they not successfully make it back to the real world? And so there's some of them that are still lost. I don't know yet because I don't know what happens.
We will find out their fate after Kingdom Hearts 3.
Right. Yeah. So I don't know what happened to them. So maybe that'll help me figure this out.
Yeah, I've got the game all divided up into segments for us. I think we're going to have 12 episodes total.
Oh, wow.
Next time, I don't think we will have a Disney World next time, but I think we're going to be going to Twilight Town.
Cool. I like Twilight Town.
Good times. Shall we dive to the wiki?
Yeah.
Oh, and let me see if we have any questions, because I forgot to ask for them or check for them.
While you're doing that, I'll give my list of top 10 characters I like to see on screen, and which I'm happy to see on screen. It's different than just saying like these are my favorite characters. They just make me happy when I see them. And uh-huh. It's Pete, Zigbar, Mickey, Goofy, Donald, Old Xehanort, Riku, Maleficent, Sora, and that guy who died in Travish Town in Kingdom Hearts 1.
Love that guy.
Or Tron, I guess.
To have an actual character.
Yeah.
Mine.
She's like Sora.
This also what? Had the rule of no looking
strong
characters.
Like Sora.
Up.
Right.
This is all off the dome.
Yeah, because if I thought about who I actually liked the most, it would be a different list.
I mean, I think that's why Tron ended up being a sub-note of number 10.
Exactly, yeah.
Mine were Goofy, Donald, Zigbar, Sora, Mickey, Riku, Brain. Hey, welcome to the list, Brain.
Yeah.
Maleficent, Old Xehanort, and Pete.
Yeah, similar lists.
I love Goofy. I don't know if I've made that clear. Yeah. I love Goofy so much in these games.
He's great. I mean, he's number 4 on my list, so...
He has been the best friend of Sora. Riku tried to kill him, and Goofy said, "Nuh-uh." And then Donald, moments later, said, "Yeah, all right."
He's also responsible for the greatest scene in Kingdom Hearts, which is where you think he's dead for a little bit.
I get bonked on the head all the time.
It's when Mickey's ready to kill.
We do not have any questions this week.
Okay. Well,
which is good, because that means that we can get straight into the article that you found on Kingdom Hearts Fan and Wiki.
Yeah, this is an obscure character for Kingdom Hearts. It's Ham from Andy's. He's a protagonist Andy's toy in House of Toys in Kingdom Hearts Pixar.
Oh, Kingdom Hearts Pixar. Who could forget?
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at the info box at the bottom, which has a bunch of non-existent links to characters that don't have articles.
Uh-huh.
Here are the party members that you get in Kingdom Hearts Pixar. There's Sora, Roxas, Aldearo, Mumenta, Selphia, Cloud, Riku, Leon, Kairi, Donald, Goofy, and King, which I assume is the cheetah head wrestler from Tekken.
I hope so, yeah.
Your gummy ships are Gummy B, Gummy C, Gummy D, and the Gummanor.
Gummanor!
The villains are Maleficent, Cid, Spike. We love to beat up people's pets in Kingdom Hearts. Hopper, which I think, I'm assuming that's from A Bug's Life. Chick Hicks, don't know what that is. Bruce, maybe that's the shark from Shark Tale. Anchor, Chum, Darla, and Randall. And then there's more stuff that I'm not going
to
read.
Yeah, what do you want to get to? I mean, I'll just start.
Oh, wait, Bruce is not from Shark Tale. He's from Finding Nemo. There was a... Shark character in Shark Tale that I'm thinking of. Of course there was, but I don't remember who
Mr. Tail.
Maybe.
Okay, I'm going to read. So, yeah. So Ham's a protagonist, Andy's toy, in a House of Toys, in Kingdom Hearts Pixar. He is the money bank pig used as the Sheriff Woody villain, Dr. Porkchop, who rules Blaine Canyon.
True.
He firstly was a member of the Detesters of Woody.
Of course.
After he resulted in the loss of Buzz Lightyear. Which is true, I guess. That is one way to describe the first movie of Toy Story. Ham then, after Buzz's rescue and return with Woody, embraced him again as they arried at their home in time for the arrival of Buster and Mrs. Potato Head. He was then of the toys sent to Sunnyside Daycare, and then finally of the remaining toys at Bonnie's house.
I remember that.
And then he appeared in Toy Story movie.
Can I give you some info about Ham?
I'd love to hear info about Ham, yeah.
Ham. Name, Ham. Kana, Ham G. Type, toy, money pig, dream antagonist.
Oh,
man, if I had my dream story, I guess, well, the antagonist would have to be Ham from Toy Story.
Obviously mine is Pete, but, you know.
Role, party, summon. Age, unknown. I mean, I guess that's true.
Yeah, could be any age.
Homeworld, House of Toys, family, Andy, weapon, cork. I want to see those animations where Ham is popping his cork out at the Heartless.
I think he does that.
Yeah, take this!
Doesn't his pork, like, it pops out in the movie when he gets scared, right?
Something like that. And then, of course, attribute. You know how Marluxia's is flowers and Axel's is fire. Andy's toy.
That's true.
Status alive. Good for him.
Oh, good. Yeah. I'm going to read some journal entries about Ham. Here's the first entry about
Ham.
Wait,
this better not be from my journal about Ham.
No, it's Xehanort's journal about Ham, obviously.
These are the secret reports.
Yeah. So, first one. Ham is the money bank pig of Andy's house who scores the toys' festivities.
I just wish there was a better phrase for money bank pig.
Can't think of one. He was of Andy's original toys, but devoid of the Black Barker maiden name placement.
Wait, is Andy's mom's maiden name Andy?
That's what this person thinks. Andy, yeah, it'd be crazy if his name was Andy, but... he is currently in charge of the present alert lookout.
True.
He was no ham sandwich in Toy Story 1995, it says in this journal entry.
Every journal entry ends with that.
Oh, he does. Why?
I think that might be actually in the style of the journals in the games, is I think that they will be like, Tigger first bounced onto the screen in a very blustery day, or something like that.
That's okay, yeah. Okay, I don't know, I shouldn't read all these, because this episode's already long, but...
Well, can you at least read the first sentence of the second entry?
Sure. Ham became of the Destine toys after believing Woody to have forced Buzz Lightyear to be lost on purpose along with Sora, Donald, and Goofy. So I guess Woody knocked them all out the window.
Yeah. One of the Destine toys. Oh, this is just a desk toy.
I think I can skip that. I saw another really good phrasing. I gotta find it. Oh, can you read Ham's personality?
Personality. Ham is a smart, cracking, low-energied toy with little toleration for people against him. He possesses incredible intelligence and memory, which assigns many of the lookout duties of Andy's house. Ham has a strong fear of the Heartless, believing because of his past mistakes they will claim it. He feels a good sense of proportion and accompanied the rescue team, for he wasn't the only one. I don't know what that's supposed to say.
We accompanied them.
Ham appears as rotund, large pink pig with two central body parts. His head is perfectly circular. His head is perfectly sic-rular, as his large second part body. He has full black eyes with drawn eyebrows and an open mouth with thin white teeth. He, like all other money banks, contains a coin slot on his upper front.
It really reads like it was Google translated, but then it's misspelled so much that I just think this person has a strange idea of idioms and is maybe a child, I suppose.
Here's a quote from Ham, and I'll do my best John Ratzenberger voice. He's a murderer, and we toys have a low tolerance span for murderers.
That's good, yeah.
Wow, where's your Keyblade, Buzz?
Oh man, does Buzz get a Keyblade?
If Buzz Lightyear gets a Keyblade before Jack Sparrow.
That'd be great.
Do we have any trivia notes?
Ham's name in the game is derived with another M as allowance from copyrights. Oh.
Oh, okay. So the Ham lobby won't come after them.
Yeah. And Ham's voice over is very similar in tone, or similar in tone, to the voice artist John Ratzenberger, who held Ham's voice the film.
Yeah, so was mine.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. That's a good character.
It's a good character. Stinky Pete was then defeated by Ham, Sora, and the others.
It's true.
Ham joined the crowd as Sora closed the keyhole on Andy's bedroom toy box lock. Oh no, then they can't go back in the toy box.
Oh yeah.
Oh man, poor Ham.
Poor Ham.
This is Wish Us Duck.
This is Wish Us Duck.
This is the segment where we sound exactly like Donald Duck.
Yes.
Should we read one of Ham's quotes as Donald Duck?
Oh, we could. Yes, we should. How about, oh, screw your potato on?
I was so hoping you wouldn't say that one, but you did, and now we have to.
Which one do you want?
Any of them except for that, but here we go.
Okay.
Let me do my best.
Oh, screw your potato on.
I think I could do better than that.
That's pretty good.
Oh, screw your potato on.
Eh.
I'm closing my window, coming back. Okay.
It's all right.
It's okay.
It's okay.
It's okay.
It's all right.
I'm figuring out when fine. I can move my tongue around and when I can't. That's one of the things I'm working on with the Donald Duck voice.
Yeah. Well, I think that's it.
Yeah.
What was that?
What was what?
There's no way my mic picked that up, but someone just yelled outside.
Oh, okay.
Oh. Oh, yeah. All the kids are going nuts outside.
Oh, good. Good for them.
Oh, good. One of my favorite memories of hearing a child yelling outside in this place was a little boy was hanging out with his friends and said, "All right, everyone, cover your ears. I'm going to scream like a banshee."
Oh, that's so good. Like, that could have been me.
Boys will be boys.
Yeah.
We are on co-host at Sounds About Light. I'm on co-host at Positive Stress. You can listen to my other podcast, Doctor Huh? Where we are going to be watching another Christopher Eccleston episode. We're going to be watching The End of the Universe or something, it's called. There's a skin lady in it.
Yeah.
Do you remember the skin lady?
I've seen that episode. That's a fun ep, if I remember right.
Everyone remembers the skin lady.
Yeah, she's very memorable.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. I don't know. I was on some F Plus Extra Credit episodes. Nothing new since last time. Go listen to it. It's good.
We're hosted on noisebase.xyz, where you can listen to other podcasts like Fear Baiting and Elite Full Restore and Podcasting is Forbidden in the Cloud Recesses and Local Service Only and more. And Zero to Zero is also on there. More Flash episodes coming soon. No one's had a chance to edit them yet.
Oh, okay.
But they're all recorded, which means that I never have to think about that movie again. Oh no, I'm doing it now. I gotta get out of here. We still haven't met our Xehanort from Kingdom Hearts 3 yet, which means we still get to do that Leonard Nimoy voice we love to try to do.
That's right.
When we say, Keyblade! Keyblade! And then Donald Duck says, Bye!
Bye!
Whoa!
What is it? Have you found something? Show it to me at once, fool!
Yes, sir, easy. This has got to be that Pandora's box Hades mentioned.
Leave it.
What? After all that digging?
That is not the box which I desire. We are finished with this world. Come.
No.
May your heart